Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. A little later on this segment, we've got a nice long segment here. Some news yesterday in the Chronicle about the Texans' potential new headquarters and a desire by the county to keep it here in Harris County. If indeed there is going to be a new team headquarters for the Texans, not a new stadium, but a team headquarters and practice facility. We'll get to that in just a little bit. The Astros win last night, so that's good. 9-2. Bats came alive. Jose Altuve, 2 home runs. That's good to see. Hopefully this is the beginning of a streak like we've seen Jose have many, many times in his career. That's the good news. The lead is down to 2.5 in the AL West. So if the Astros can keep winning, they could awake on Monday, Seth, in first place in the AL West. That's big. Yeah.
And they're tonight Gusto's pitching versus Mariners pitcher. I'm blanking on. He's not having a great year, but hasn't pitched a whole bunch either.
Yeah, I'll look.
But it's so far you're nearing the end of this ridiculously long stretch of 17 straight games. This one series versus the Mariners feels like it matters way more than it should this early in the season.
Yeah.
But the positive developments as of late have offset a little bit of just the absolute World War II battlefield that is the pitching staff right now.
Yep.
It is, Sean. You walk into the training room and there's pitchers scattered about all over the place.
They got
guys screaming out in agony and pain.
Arms in slings, like those old school slings that you tie around there. Random band-aids on their face. That was always weird on the Roadrunner cartoon where there'd be an explosion and the smoke would clear and Wile E. Coyote would actually be on a crutch in a sling and have band-aids on his face. Immediately. It was wild. Yeah, that was crazy. That's what the pitching room is like. Emerson Hancock is the Seattle pitcher for tonight. 6.21 ERA this year, to your point about not having
that. He hasn't pitched that much, so that might be a little fluky.
1-2, 6.21 ERA. The injury news for the Astros has not been great, as Seth just alluded to there. The news on Spencer Arrighetti, per Chandler Rome yesterday, he's out of his cast. He's got a broken pitching hand, as many of you know. He's out of his cast. He's doing gripping exercises with his right hand, but has a ways to go. So it's going to be a bit until he gets back. And even once he's fully healthy, we're going to do this whole thing where he's throwing off a flat ground and then he's throwing off a mound and he's up to this. He's throwing 90 feet or 60 feet or whatever. You know, we're going to do this thing. The thing we've done with Lance McCullers like a half a dozen times the last 5 years. And eventually he'll go to Sugar Land and do some rehab starts. The more crucial one right now is Ronel Blanco, who was put on the 15-day IL yesterday with, quote, right elbow inflammation. He's seeking a second opinion. They called Colton Gordon back up to the big league club. That was probably going to happen anyways at some point, as wrecked as this pitching staff is right now. But Blanco, Seth, is just the next name in the blank of a guy who looks to be on a path for some version of elbow surgery. This is what's happened with all these other guys.
If there's one trend with the Astros, it's that they try to respect the player, it seems. After the first diagnosis, they're not going to release any information. If a guy goes and gets a second opinion, then maybe we'll get a more definitive answer in the next couple days after the second opinion comes in.
Yeah, I got no problem with that process. My issue is that it just keeps happening, you know, and I wonder what Jim Crane feels about this, you know, because we don't know what to point the finger at least on the outside. We don't. Maybe they've got a better grasp on what exactly is causing all this. I mean, the fact of the matter is, with a lot of these younger pitchers, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, guys like that, they were heading towards workloads they had not seen before in their careers. Some of them pitched in the World Baseball Classic too, and that probably didn't help, I would imagine. I don't want to, you know, you guys know how I feel about the World Baseball Classic. I don't think you can ignore that in 2023 is when two of these guys, you know, went out and they pitched outside of the Astros bubble here. But I, you know, if I'm Jim Crane, I'm looking at the amount of money that I'm burning paying guys to rehab elbow injuries. And when it gets to be five or six guys, and if we go all the way back to, I mean, shoot, you can go all the way back to Lance McCullers getting Tommy John in 2018. But if you want to just go back to Verlander, because McCullers popped up again a few times with non-Tommy John stuff and elbows, go back to Verlander in 2020. I went and did the numbers yesterday, Seth, and by my calculations, this is up through 2024. So this is not a penny of 2025 counts towards this. So whatever he's paying Luis Garcia right now, whatever he's going to end up paying Hayden Wisniewski, if Ronel Blanco goes out for the year, whatever he ends up paying him, I haven't even started counting up 2025. This is just going back to Verlander in 2020. I'm including Lance McCullers, even though it wasn't Tommy John. It was two extended stints rehabbing arm injuries, the one where he missed over half of 2022, and then the subsequent one where he missed all of 2023 and all of 2024. The total number for Verlander for the 2 years he missed, 2 years minus one start, Lance McCullers, parts of or full three seasons, Luis Garcia, part of 2023 and all of 2024, Jose Urquidy, part of 2023 and all of 2024, and then Christian Javier, part of 2024. By my calculations, and I prorated the partial seasons, Jim Crane has paid $105 million since 2020 for guys to rehab elbow and or Tommy John surgery injuries. That is a staggering number.
Raking it in from the Astros alone.
Dude.
He bought a Mediterranean island.
He's crushing it, Tommy.
Yeah, he's living up. He's living the high life on his island down in the Mediterranean.
Yes,
he's drinking pina coladas all day long.
Offshore accounts.
Just off the Astros alone.
Yes, yes.
So the average Major League Baseball team has fewer than one Tommy John per year. So the Astros have had the last 3 years they've averaged about two a year, have they not?
Yeah, they're about.
So it's either really bad luck or I don't know. There's something going on. Now, so you're going to get at least a few, and it might just be statistically, it just might be a fluke. It might just be that, yeah, that's the way it goes. Sometimes there's going to be teams out there that have zero. There's going to be teams that have more. I have wondered if at least part of it could be that a guy like Blanco, you know, you call him a young pitcher, but he was just a late bloomer.
Yeah.
So the year that you stretch him out is when he's 30, age 30, that's when he pitches 160 innings or however many for the first time in his career in the majors. And maybe with at least a few of those guys, it's the fact that they do have older guys in their system that are getting that first real, real major league workload when they're older guys.
I think the thing that hurts from a baseball standpoint, Seth, the money hurts, obviously. And look, people are going to go, well, it's not my money. It's Jim Crane's money. Yeah, but this is all empty dollars that count towards the competitive balance tax that Jim Crane manages his team towards. You know, they manage around that number. So these are empty dollars that are getting thrown onto a pile that still includes Jose Abreu's salary and still includes, you know, not anymore, he's not on the team, but they paid Rafael Montero a ton of money the last couple of years to be bad at baseball. You throw this on top of bad decisions that have been made with this team. And it's in some ways, I guess it's a credit that they're still able to win divisions when they've got this big a crimp in what they've been trying to do. I think the thing that hurts from a baseball standpoint, if you look at the names, Verlander, McCullers, Luis Garcia in 2023, Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, these are all guys that are coming off of big years when they've had the elbow issues. So you were counting on these guys heavy, not just counting on them to take a spot in the rotation. You're like Hayden Wisniewski, you were just counting on him to be your five. Okay. Justin Verlander was the Cy Young Award winner the year before he goes out with Tommy John. He pitches one game in the COVID year. He's done. He was the Cy Young winner the year before. Lance McCullers in 2021 finished seventh in the Cy Young voting and then he can't start the year in 2022. He comes back in 2022, pitches well, and then he's gone for 2 years. Luis Garcia won 15 games in the year the Astros made the World Series in 22. He's gone. Jose Urquidy, I think, won 13 games the year they won the World Series. He's gone. Christian Javier had been really good for a couple of years. You lose him in 2024. That's the part to me that really hurts is, man, these are guys that you're going into the season going, we're counting on 15 wins from this guy. You know, we're counting on Verlander to be the hammer at the top of our rotation.
Well, I said at the beginning of this season, you can't certainly go into this season expecting the injuries to be as bad with the pitchers as they were last year. I mean, last year it was just it was a bloodbath out there. And then here I am. I'm still wallowing in the bloodbath. I've got spare body parts bouncing around the water. It's disgusting.
This is just as bad. I said yesterday it's worse. I don't know. They've lost two. They may be losing two guys for the year now. Last year they lost Javier. Like this might be worse than last year.
And yet, through the strength of the bullpen, knock on wood, the intrigue amongst just Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers at the age of 30 is a weirdly intriguing prospect to me. That I feel a whole lot better about him than Forrest Whitley right now. Okay, if I'm going to talk about people who once had promising futures and or careers in the major leagues. Yeah, Lance McCullers so far, I feel way better about.
Yeah, well, people laughed. I mean, you know, during spring training, as Lance was progressing and all the signs were good and he's throwing those rehab starts to start the season, and this is before Hayden Wisniewski got hurt and obviously before Ronel Blanco got hurt. But you know what? I would say here, like, Lance is going to be a key guy before this thing is all said and done if he keeps progressing towards health. And everybody would text in, can't count on Lance, can't count on Lance. That's fun. Here we are. Like, you have no choice. Like, Lance McCullers has to be, he doesn't have to be seventh in the Cy Young voting, Lance McCullers. He doesn't have to be the hammer at the top of the rotation. But over the course of the season, he is eventually going to have to be better than what he's been this first month that he's been back. There's no question about that.
Well, and the big thing is if Blanco is indeed gone.
If he's gone, then, because I'm assuming he's gone.
If Blanco is back and he can be all right, you know, he ends up at least limiting his innings so far this year, if you can look at it in that warped and twisted way. But Arrigetti being back, if Arrigetti comes back and pitches at the high end of what he's capable of, then at least you got four guys. And then Lance is a huge bonus. Because no matter how well Lance pitches every single game, people are going to be nervous about the next injury. What's going to happen, or is this going to last?
It's always the Grim Reaper is always standing there around the corner with his big, you know, his big sharp weapon that he carries around, Sith or whatever it is. I just wonder, like, that my overall point with the dollars is I just wonder what the conversations with Jim Crane and the staff are internally there. Like, if I'm Jim Crane and I'm looking at my business, like, you look at line items on your P&L, and I'm looking that I've spent $105 million paying for guys to rehab, Tommy John surgery or elbow injuries, I'm walking into somebody and saying, hey, man, like, I'm literally putting the paper down with a highlight across those numbers going, what is going on here? Like, and especially when I'm sure, you know, he's looking at the numbers. He looks at the numbers all the time. I'm sure he's looking at numbers like that for what his peers are, you know, that the other teams around Major League Baseball. And as you pointed out, the Astros are well above the average over the last few years of Tommy John guys.
Yeah.
Text message.
I always wish the Grim Reaper had a different weapon than the Sith. And, you know, and then the cartoons and the movies, they always, the Grim Reaper just touches you with the Sith and then you die.
Yeah.
Which I feel is actually pretty generous on his behalf.
What would you like to see him carrying around? Anything?
I would, a bullet to the head for me is the ideal way to go. If I'm going to go, just make it as quick as possible.
It's not as sporting, though. You know, like maybe a bow and arrow or something like that.
Well, Sith isn't built for lopping off heads, man.
Yeah.
Like little shafts of wheat. I don't know how efficient the guy is with it. I as long as it's a magical Sith that when he touches me, I
you're
die.
Done. Yeah, you just
that's
don't want to
cool.
suffer.
Yeah,
yeah, I got you. You just don't want to suffer. I see that. I mean, nowadays, you know, with modern technology, he might be able to shoot lightning out of his hands like Emperor Palpatine. You know,
I don't want that. I don't want electricity. Yeah. I don't want to be electric.
I'm just warning you. I'm just telling you.
Have you ever touched an electric fence, Sean?
No, I have not actually.
It's one of the least pleasant things you can ever do in your life.
Sounds like you've done it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was the youngest sibling or youngest boy, so I was the one that was in charge of testing to see if it was hot or not.
And another layer of the onion is peeled back.
My brother and my stepbrother would maybe just touch it with the back of your hand.
Oh my God. That's brutal. Text message. A lot of people weighing in here on the Astros pitchers. Don't Astros pitchers usually increase their spin rate versus prior stops? Maybe whatever they do to cause that increases the Tommy John injuries. That, again, like, I think these are all questions that need to be asked. And that's what I'm wondering. Like, what are the questions being asked behind the scenes? And will there be an opportunity to ask these questions from anybody outside of the building over there? That is a fair question. We talk all the time about the Astros car wash that they put these pitchers through, and they magically come out the other side with more spin rate and better pitch selection and all these other things. Is there anything with what they do to make pitchers better that's causing this? You know,
I've always wondered with the Astros, back when their minor league system was loaded, there'd be these guys who were just crushing it in Double A, or more traditionally, guys that were killing it in Triple A, because there were guys, they weren't the hot prospects necessarily, but they were killing it in Triple A. And then they brought up to the Astros and they just turned to dust. And yeah, it felt like, man, the coaching might be so good at the lower levels that they're extracting the absolute maximum
maybe
out of these guys. And I wonder with the pitching side of it, it might be a little bit different, but still, they're extracting the absolute most out of all these various pitchers that were ignored as teenagers in Latin America or what have you. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just pitching so far above their actual normal skill level that it taxes the body somehow.
Do you think the pitch clock has anything to do with this? We have a few texters wondering that.
League-wide, yeah, but you can't. That doesn't explain why it's affecting one team more than others, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it does. That's the hazardous thing about speculating about causes of injuries is that sometimes it is just random dumb luck. That's the way probability works. It's not evenly distributed across the board, and sometimes you just get bad luck.
Someone says, as smart as Sean is, and with all the useless knowledge he stores, he's never heard of the River Dance. That's from a few weeks ago.
A long, long time ago. Where's that coming from? Out of left field.
They're going somewhere. Let me finish the text.
Oh, okay.
And also doesn't know that the Grim Reaper carries a sickle. Is it a sickle or a Sith that he carries around, the Grim Reaper?
I don't know. There's a difference between a Sith and a sickle.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Yeah, I just know whatever he carries around, I don't want to get hacked up by it. That's all. I just know the Grim Reaper is really, really scary.
A sickle and a Sith are not the same.
What does the Grim Reaper carry around?
A Sith has a long, slightly curved blade, or the sickle has like more of a curve to it.
Okay. What is the
Grim? I think he carries a Sith.
He does. He carries a Sith.
Shorter.
He carries. Yeah, AI is telling me.
The Sith is longer. Yeah.
I put in what is the Grim Reaper's weapon? Oh, smarty pants on the text page. The Grim Reaper is traditionally depicted carrying a Sith.
Mr.
Sean is. Yeah. He carries his useless knowledge, or at least my useless sickle, knowledge is accurate.
A sickle has a short handle. Okay, that's what the serial killer carries in a movie when they just got that. It's a sickle has that short handle with a curved blade on it.
Yeah,
that's not what the Grim Reaper carries.
Yeah. Sorry, 8445 on the text page.
River dancing all over your sickle carrying butt.
Because
we killed you.
That's
we killed it. You with our what is it? Superior reach.
Sith. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, the Sith has major reach. The Sith is a farming tool used to harvest crops, as you pointed out. And in the Grim Reaper's context, it symbolizes the reaping of souls. Yeah. Ooh, so it's a symbolic thing more than a practical thing.
You use a sickle to do the same. It's just with it doesn't have the long
sickle's
handle
what's on
it.
The Soviet Union flag, right? That's the
I don't know.
The sickle. I believe it is. I feel like that's something you would know.
I have no faith in my I didn't actually know what the difference between a sickle and a Sith was.
Now you
before,
do.
So,
we
yeah.
learned. We both learned something today.
Let me grab my Soviet flag out of my dresser drawer.
You're draped in it every show. You've got it on. Just take it off and look at it. You're draped in it on every show that we do.
It's Soviet. The hammer and the sickle.
There you go. See, Texter, you learned something today. Smart as Sean is. Ugh.
I cannot wait until...
That's a loyal listener.
I cannot wait.
I shouldn't say that. He knew the Riverdance reference. I shouldn't say that. Sorry, Texter. I'm texting you personally right now.
Someday, that guy's not going to let it go, though. It's not until he's on his deathbed and he sees the Grim Reaper himself. He's going to go
That's right.
Sean was right. Many years from now, I'm not asking you to go die.
No. Not this guy, at least. Yeah.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so Jim Crane has spent a lot of money on arm injuries. How about this story? Speaking of money, so the Texans, it looks like, are trending towards getting a new headquarters, and they would move all their business operations there. The practice facility would be there, all in one place, potentially away from NRG Stadium. It could be at NRG Park on the same campus there. It may not be. At the golf tournament a few weeks ago, the Texans Foundation golf tournament, this was a big hot topic. Mike Tolman, the new president of the team, not really new anymore. He's been there since February. And the McNairs both talked about the possibility of a new headquarters with a practice facility. They went as far as to talk about an entertainment district around it, possibly with a lot of retail and restaurants and things like that. And it could be somewhere, not just in Harris County, but in the greater Houston area. Actual leadership in Harris County spoke on this last week. Precinct 4 Commissioner Leslie Briones, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, Leslie, told the Chronicle last week that she and county leadership are engaged in conversations with the Texans, and she hopes any headquarters the team decides to build would remain in Harris County. Several quotes in here that we'll get to, Seth, but I think the big thing that people need to know here is this is a facility the Texans would pay for themselves. This isn't something... its presence in Harris County doesn't mean there's going to be a vote where the county is paying for the facility. Now, there may be tax breaks and things like that for the Texans on building this, but this is something the Texans would be, this practice facility and headquarters would be something, according to this article, that they would be paying for.
I would trying to look at this from the McNair's perspective. If I lived in River Oaks and had been accustomed for the last 20 years of just jaunting down Kirby to get to the to work in the morning, I would want to keep it in Harris County also.
I think they do.
That alone, if I'm going to be an owner here and just let's put my selfish interests at play.
Yeah,
I like not having to commute 40 minutes to work.
Well, and I mean, there's probably a lot of people that work for the team right now who chose where to live based on where NRG Stadium is.
Oh, that's a good
point,
too.
It's not just them. You know?
Yeah. You're signing up for all of a sudden an extra hour and a half of driving per day, and you got to sell your house if not. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Or your life gets a whole lot more miserable. A lot of these people have kids. They're not going to move because their job just moved out to Katy or up to the Woodlands or something. Yeah, changing schools is
tough. The headquarters, wherever the headquarters are, don't really matter if it's just the headquarters, but if they decide to build some kind of complex like the Star up in that the Cowboys have, then it gets interesting.
Yeah,
because then I don't think it's going to be like a human zoo the way they make it in Dallas.
Yeah.
I would expect that they're going to keep the player operations side pretty separate from the public at large.
Oh, you mean all the voyeurism that people get to watch the Cowboys
do
things.
Work out in the Cowboys' actual gym and all this other stuff to where players feel like they're on display all the time. But it might be some cool partnerships between the Texans and some of the retail stuff.
Depending on whatever part of town it gets put in is going to have an economic impact if it's got all that retail and everything else. If people are going, if it's a destination for people for whatever reason, because independent of the zoo-like aspect of the Cowboys facility, that's more of a Cowboys culture thing. I mean, it has an arena there that they have concerts. It is a major campus, and that's, I think, every article we read, that's kind of what the vision is for this sort of thing. Briona says this: I love sports, and I believe it brings our community together, and obviously it's a huge economic impact. I'm really energized by the new president, Mike Thoman, so I'm optimistic, and I really do hope that they choose our site, meaning Harris County, but we'll see. A new headquarters could bring with it an entertainment district with several retail options similar to the Cowboys and what they built in Frisco. They're talking in this article about keeping it on the same campus as where they are right now, at NRG Park, somehow doing it there. That is a part of town, no disrespect, that is a part of town that could use some economic impact from some retail stuff coming in there, I would say.
It could end up looking any number of different ways. I think the other part from a Texans fan perspective is, for me at least, I feel like if the Texans seem to be focused mostly on the headquarters at this point, that there might be a good chance that it ends up just being a renovation of NRG Stadium. And especially if they're thinking about keeping the headquarters at NRG
nearby
Park, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think they would tear down and build up a brand new stadium right there in the same spot.
I am just skeptical that NRG Stadium is going to provide. One, I'm skeptical of being able to find a time on the calendar to do a renovation that turns that stadium into the world-class stadium that Mike Thoman and the McNairs talk about. Mike Thoman has been part of some major stadium construction projects that are gold standard type stuff. SoFi Stadium, I believe the stadium in Vegas, some soccer stadiums around the world, things like that. I don't know that the calendar exists to be able to do it when you consider that, the rodeo being used for the rodeo in the spring, all the other things you use that stadium for. And then obviously from August through January, the Texans are using that stadium. But then the construct of the stadium itself, too. I just don't know how adaptable it is to what would be considered a world-class experience for fans.
I've been spoiled with a lifetime of incredible technological advancements every single decade. So I choose to believe that nothing is impossible, Sean.
Yeah.
And that they can figure it out. Or you go back old school and do what they did back in the day, if there was a World Fair or something like that, or Disney World, for instance, build a monorail. Then you convince everybody that, like, this is the future.
We got
Simpsons. A monorail around NRG Stadium now.
Yeah.
How's that sound, Mike Thoman?
I would just,
does that do it for you?
Yeah.
It's a monorail. I can go take a monorail to get from my car to my seat.
Yes. You and I could just do our show on the monorail one day, just riding around the whole time. Where are you guys going on remote? The monorail. We're just going to ride around on the monorail. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Better be.
I still feel like I'm in the future when I ride the monorail at Disney World.
I do, too.
I love it.
I do, too. It's got that look. It's got that vibe, for sure. I still think this thing is going to a new stadium.
You think it's going to be a new stadium?
I think that's going to show up on the radar here at some point. Yes, yeah. I do. I'm extremely skeptical. You're more optimistic than I am. I'm extremely skeptical that stadium can be built into something similar to what is considered world class in 2025. And even if it can, I'm skeptical that we can find a way of doing it where you're not going to displace the rodeo and or the Texans and everything else that goes on there.
And that's where the interesting part comes in, because even if the Texans want to stay in Harris County, in a city that's so geographically big as Houston, there are 11 potential counties that might throw a really competitive tax break offer or what have you to the Texans.
Yes.
And it just might be too good to turn down.
Yeah.
That's where if they don't renovate, I feel like the chances are better that it's not in Harris County, because I don't think Harris County is in the same position to really sell a really aggressive offer or a really aggressive package. This is the way some of the fast growing counties
are. I'm low key, like really excited for this, for a new headquarters with all the kinds of stuff around it. I mean, because we're training camp every day, you know, it'd be something new, somewhere new to go to do it. And it'd be, I'm guessing that will be, if you're building something, I am way more optimistic that they can build a world class headquarters, practice facility, and entertainment district, because you're doing it from scratch. You're not trying to, you know, you're not trying to take the skeleton of a building that's, if we're being honest, somewhat antiquated now. It's 25 years old, and trying to turn it into something. It's like you're doing plastic surgery on an octogenarian.
Yeah, and yet there are a lot of teams that do have their original stadium or stadiums from 20 years ago where they renovate. Like, I don't feel this pressing need that they have a cutting edge stadium. I'm not there yet, I guess.
I don't know. I think along those lines, let's use Arrowhead Stadium as an example. And that might not be a good example. They're working on a new stadium in Kansas City right now. But that's forever been a stadium. Like, it's a great home field advantage. Place is packed. Hasn't affected ticket sales. Yeah, because they win a lot. You know, like this. Mm-hmm. That needs to get factored in. Not this headquarters is going to be what it is. If the Texans are paying for it, that'll get built, and it'll be amazing, and they'll build shops around it, and it'll be something new and shiny, and they'll be out of NRG Stadium, and it'll probably be better for everybody that works for the Texans to not have to go to the stadium every day for work. The stadium, they got to start winning if that's going to become a conversation. You know, if they're going to start dipping into people's pockets in Harris County or anywhere, if another county comes a call and saying, we'll build you a stadium, they've got to, and I know they've won 8 division championships in the last 15 years, and I know they're a good team now. They're not a Super Bowl team. They got to get to AFC title games. They got to get to Super Bowls if people are going to be amenable to that.
I wonder when you work out a plan like this and you're in the preliminary stages, you probably have to factor in, all right, listen, right now we got a 3-year horizon. If we win a Super Bowl this year, we got to amp this up. We got to try to push
it. You got to be opportunistic. I have no problem with that.
So you almost have a plan that you wait till the right moment, and then, okay, I'll go now.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. No, the fact of the matter.
Hit their pocketbooks now.
This is the fact of the matter is this. The most important person to getting a new stadium built or getting any Harris County voter to vote for something that's dipping into their pockets to renovate NRG or to build a new stadium, the most important person is CJ Stroud. Like, that's the most important person to the emotional part, not to the fiscal part of it. Like, you know, the numbers are the numbers, and eventually it'll get built or whatever. But the emotional part of asking people to help pay for it is going to come down to winning at a high level. And the most important person, I'll make it 2 people, D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. How's that? Those are the 2 most important people to getting whatever the vision is for this world-class stadium. Those are the 2 most important people to getting it done. Those 2 guys.
What do you want in your world-class stadium? I keep saying I want one of these pavilion-type setups like they have in L.A., but I just don't know if you can't overcome the humidity with that. There's no amount of air movement and everything that's going to keep it feeling comfortable, even though you've got a pavilion.
Easier entry into the stadium.
Yeah, that's nice and simple. Those big, wide, corridors yes. that people just flow right into the stadium.
Yeah, yes. man, the whole thing of there being one gate and then a second gate to get to a bottleneck for an escalator or have
want,
to walk
yeah,
up
you
a jillion
the,
ramps. Yeah,
you want the seats packed in the first quarter. It's not for lack of want to. I mean, because we're out there every day, every game for the pregame, and people are – we finish our show, what, about 15 minutes before kickoff?
Thereabouts,
and,
yeah.
And people, the escalator lines are really, really long at that point.
That would be the big thing, and I think that – yeah, you're right. I'm just thinking of the impatience of the normal human being, but you're absolutely right.
For the game day experience, that's a big part
of it. It's
kind
part
of a pain in the butt getting in.
But the home field advantage that you just mentioned, I think, is a really good point. Like, that's – I mean, the team harps on that all the time, and I have no problem with that. Get in your seats early. There's a lot of people, and the fact of the matter is, I'm trying to get in my seat early. I'm trying to, you know. That would be my biggest thing.
But the curmudgeon in me is still like, okay, I've been to when I went to that game up in Buffalo a few years ago, that is one of the oldest stadiums in the NFL. And those people streamed the hell in 15 minutes through multiple entrances and everything. And they're getting a new stadium, of course.
They are. Do you think we're going to have to go to Buffalo for a Super Bowl someday? Don't they give Super Bowls to every city that gets a new stadium?
When was the last cold weather one?
Minneapolis. Well, Minneapolis.
No, it was the Giants one. I mean, without a roof.
Oh, I thought you meant like – I was thinking
– Buffalo one doesn't have a roof.
Right. No, Giants. Yeah, MetLife. That would be 2014. Yeah.
It was the Seahawks.
Seahawks destruction of the Denver Broncos at MetLife Stadium. Yep. Yeah, that was the last one. I'm thinking purely cold weather that we have to endure walking into the convention center and whatnot.
I don't mind that as long as you can just be nice and cozy inside.
I hate it. I came back with a wicked sinus infection from Minnesota. That sucked. I hated that.
There's no way they'll do it. They can't do a Super Bowl in Buffalo. Because the chance of extreme weather in Buffalo that time
kind
of year.
Kind of fun, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know, man. Not if you got to. If you're going to go. No. I don't want – if C.J. Stroud has to go against Jalen Hurts in the middle of a blizzard, I don't – if I, as long as I have a passing quarterback, I don't want that bad weather.
I'm thinking purely just I wasn't even putting the Texans in the conversation. I'm just thinking – I'm honestly looking at it as a TV show. I don't have to sit in the stands. Like a snow Super Bowl, as long as I'm sitting on my couch, a snow Super Bowl would be super compelling. We've never had it before.
For me, the championship games – I honestly prefer that they be indoors on artificial turf because then at least it takes some of the randomness out of it.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I want the better team to win. And with the problem with the outdoor games is that the Super Bowl, the NFL acts like they've got this incredibly impressive and technologically advanced method for growing the grass that will only be used in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And they'll put out documentaries about how much time and care they put into it, and then the surface sucks.
Yes.
And guys are slipping all over. It's beautiful for television, but guys are slipping around all over the place.
Yep.
No, give it to me indoors on turf.
I like it. A lot of Grim Reaper text. The Grim Reaper's weapon is designed to cut your lifeline from the physical, so it separates your lifeline spirit from the physical body. That's why it's a blade. Ooh, that is very. That is deep, man. That is deep right there. Payne and Pendergast with you.
Why couldn't it be some other form of blade or something? I know he's harvesting.
Yeah.
The Sith is more because he's harvesting.
He's reaping souls is what AI told us. Yeah.
I feel like he could still do that same thing with any other weapon. You know?
True. Step your game up.
Or is he like swiping at my soul with the scythe and not my body?
That's a good question.
He's just like swiping away the soul.
Cutting your lifeline.
I've got so many questions for him. I'm going to start carrying around... either a piece of paper with questions for the Grim Reaper, or I don't know if he'll let me use my smartphone. I could keep it in my notes.
We should get him on the show. Ben, can you work on getting the Grim Reaper on the show?
He's a tough get, but I'll try.
You've been trying, I know. Yeah.
You've been trying real hard by the looks of you. He's just living a rough life there, man.
That's it.
Should have burning the candle at both ends.
Someone says Lance McCullers reminds me of one of those spinning plates on a stick. You're just waiting for it to fall off. Like, that's how it is watching him. Like, oh, the elbow's going to go any minute now. I feel like the first – I have not had that gut feeling about Lance these first three or four starts that he's had. Only because, he's so wild right now. I'm not worried about the elbow.
He distracts you.
Yeah.
You don't worry about the injuries because you're just thinking about the actual baseball.
He's all over the place. That's exactly right. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you got a nice long weekend planned. We still have a ton to get to on the show. Speaking of Jose Altuve, a lot of you thinking we disrespected him yesterday by leaving him out of the circle of trust. He got a version of the ultimate respect yesterday by one prominent baseball writer. We will tell you what that is coming up next.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
That's here with two outs.
Oh,
two.
Yeah.
Did he do it again? You better believe it. Jose Altuve. A two-home run game. Making up for lost time, and the Astros lead 8-2.
That was good to see. To me, the two biggest stories from last night, Jose Altuve, two home runs to kind of reignite things here. Hopefully this is one of those classic Altuve stretches where he's just seeing the ball really well and kind of getting the fundamentals back, you know, trying to drive the ball up the middle instead of jerk it over the train in left field every swing. And then Lance McCullers last night as well, gave you 4 1/3 innings, couldn't get out of the fifth inning, put a couple guys on, they're up 5-2, Dubin comes in and gets in a little bit of trouble, but able to get out of that jam, and then the bullpen comes in, the back end of the bullpen comes in, and you don't have to touch Abreu or Hader last night. In a series like this, Seth, that is big that you didn't have to use your eighth inning or ninth inning guy in a 9-2 win. That's the... You know, they talk about complementary football all the time, the offense complementing the defense. The Astros being able to score all those runs to put some distance to turn it from a 5-2 game into a 9-2 game. You know, Jose Altuve's two home runs were part of those later runs in the game. His solo home run made it 6-2, and his two-run home run made it 8-2. And you may look at it and go, all right, well, they weren't really consequential home runs. Yeah, they were. You didn't have to go to your closer or your setup guy last night. This is a really important series, and you're going to be playing in a close game probably on Friday, Saturday, and or Sunday, and you're going to need Brian Abreu and Josh Hader to not have to use them. If it was still 5-2, those guys are coming into the game. It's not. It's 9-2. You know, it's 8-2, so they're not coming into the game. So that was huge to be able to to not have to dip into the elite part of your bullpen last night.
Yeah, sure. And Sean Dubin working himself out of that trouble is nice to see. And, I mean, Dubin's one of the guys, one of the many Astros pitchers who have been injured this year and was able to come out of it. And you're just hopefully – I mean, I just don't want to fear the worst with Blanco, but it's elbow. If they hadn't said it, it's elbow discomfort with a second opinion.
He's done.
You don't know that. Okay.
Yeah, but that's just how I feel. You know what I mean? I just feel like I've seen this before. Of course, I'm not. Yeah, I haven't looked at the MRI or anything, but I just that's how I'm treating it. You know,
So no, and you're 100% correct here. Yeah. The other part of the Astros turning it around, if they can do it versus the Mariners and continue to do some of what they've been doing as of late. I mean, if Altuve just leapt out of his slump last night, then that would be huge, obviously. Jordan could be back any day now. If he looks like what he's looked like for every single baseball season except for this one, if he can get back to looking like his old self, that's huge too. And it makes it a little bit easier given that there's all these viable options with the pitching right now, and because the bullpen is so good that I can get kind of full thrust into, like, all right, this team might have something.
My hope is that Jordan was playing through that hand injury, and that's a big reason why he's, you know, like a 680 OPS or whatever he is, you know, 400 points below where he normally is OPS. I hope that's the case. Jason Stark of The Athletic, longtime baseball writer. I like Jason Stark's work, and he's a pretty prominent member of the group that votes for the Hall of Fame. He's a very prominent voice out there when it comes to the legacy type stuff, like Hall of Fame and All Century and things like that. People pay attention when he writes. He did the for The Athletic, he did the all quarter century team for Major League Baseball, the very best in baseball since 2000. Two Astros, one former, one current, make the cut on the all-quarter century team by Jason Stark. Jose Altuve is your second baseman on Jason Stark's all-quarter century team.
Nice.
Says, full confession, I'm dinging Robinson Cano here for being a two-time offender of PEDs. Good. Get him out of here.
Oh, the comments are going to be so good.
Get him out of here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Vandy. And since that's the case, this is Stark saying this, this feels like a choice between Jose Altuve and Chase Utley. Disagree? I knew that would happen. We've no hard and fast rules on this team for how to handle the PED mess, and I'll run into it again later in this column. When I do, let's just say my choices down the road are going to tick off the Robbie Cano, don't you know, fan club. Because he ends up putting Barry Bonds in as his left fielder for the quarter century team.
I love the inconsistency.
Yes, and he admits it. But Stark says, enough on Cano. Why Altuve, despite his hazy association with the Astros trash can scheme and whatever the heck went on with Buzzergate? Because he's on.
Bringing up Buzzergate is BS there. He has to acknowledge the trash cans, which, as we all know, Altuve, you know, was whatever. That's BS to bring up.
He needed. I'm okay with him bringing it up if he were to use an adjective in front of it that shows how ridiculous it is.
The bogus Buzzergate.
Whatever the heck went on with that silly Buzzergate thing. Anything like that, I would have been okay. But you're right. The way he mentions it actually gives it like a modicum of credence, of credibility. Stark continues, he's on a Cooperstown path. Altuve's already passed Cano in Fangraph's calculation of war. I think his career offensive accomplishments outweigh Utley's by almost any measure. This is what's wild about this. Stark says, so that's three batting titles, two stolen base titles, four 200-hit seasons, and I hope you notice that Altuve actually has the same career slugging percentage as Chase Utley. What's wild about this, those three batting titles and two stolen base titles and four 200-hit seasons all took place like a decade ago. Like, Altuve transformed himself. He went from being a prolific singles hitter that was winning batting titles to a guy whose batting average came down some, but his OPS went way up, and he turned into not like a feared power hitter like Mike Trout or Barry Bonds or other guys on this team, but a legitimate 25 to 30 home run guy, you know, and with home runs in some of the biggest spots. So that when I read that, I'm like, man, that's the batting titles and the stolen base titles and the 200 hit seasons are all things that were happening before 2018. You know, like these are all it's almost like there's been two Altuves offensively. You know, it's been a wild evolution for him.
It was I did go through down through the comments, and the comments in The Athletic tend to be they're not as extreme. Like people are a little bit more reserved, and not as much name calling going on and everything.
Yeah.
There are multiple people in the comments who are 100% convinced that Buzzergate was real and that Altuve was 100% wearing a buzzer. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's Buzzergate comments down there.
Yeah. That's the vast majority of them. You know, when people, Astros fans brought up that, hey, you didn't participate in the trash can, et cetera, whatever. And that's the Buzzergate is important because the Buzzergate brings it like people, there are a lot of people that were convinced the Astros were cheating for three straight years.
Yep.
Because the 2017 season details weren't divulged until 2020. A lot of people thought that was, so they want to wipe out three seasons of Altuve's good work.
Yes.
And I would spot them the one season just based on, all right, yeah, Altuve had more runners on base, had more protection in the lineup if other guys were using it, whatever.
That's a good point.
But like the buzzer conspiracy theory has damaged him more so than any other thing, and it's the thing that's the absolute most false about any of the accusations.
Yeah, I get, my only fear really in terms of legacy is, are the baseball writers that vote for the Hall of Fame dumb enough to believe that he was using a buzzer?
Like
a
no, bunch of, I don't think anybody in baseball does.
Then that's fine. Yeah. Let the stupid Yankee fans be the stupid Yankee fan. You can't cure stupid, and that's who they are and what they are. As long as the writers don't believe it and he gets into the Hall of Fame when he deserves to get in, that's fine. The other former, technically, I guess, two former Astros, but one of them was an Astro in 1998 that made it. That's Randy Johnson. I say technically because this is for 2000 through today. So Randy Johnson made the starting rotation for the quarter century team for his work in Arizona and New York, and mostly his work in Arizona when he won the three or four Cy Young Awards. Justin Verlander made it. The starting rotation for the quarter century team, Justin Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Roy Halladay, Max Scherzer, and Randy Johnson. I guess the toughest choice for him, Stark says, Seth, was Randy Johnson. Verlander, Kershaw, Halladay, and Scherzer were easy ones for him. It came down to Randy Johnson and Zach Greinke for the last spot. So we were this close to having two recent former Astros on the boy. And you think about that, and they had Garrett Cole on that. That 2019 team didn't win the World Series.
Yeah,
that stings when you read stuff like this. Like they had Greinke, Verlander, and Garrett Cole on the team.
Well, and Randy Johnson's a tough one because his career, like the dividing line is the year 2000.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't be an Astro that was on this list because this is the first quarter century. He was with the Astros in 98.
Yep.
So, that's the part. If you just take his career and start it in the year 1996 instead of 1988, then I think he'd be a slam dunk, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is just arbitrarily starting this at the beginning of the century.
Yeah. So Verlander, Kershaw, Halladay, Scherzer, and Randy Johnson. And Zach Greinke, he said Zach Greinke was a really tough choice to leave off of this. Mariano Rivera, the closer, that was he wrote very little about that because he's just so far ahead of everybody and everything. Mariano, for those wondering what the team looks like, the whole team, since we've just focused on the Astros on this, catcher Yadier Molina, designated hitter Big Poppy, David Ortiz, the infield from first to third, Albert Pujols, first base, we mentioned Altuve, Derek Jeter is the shortstop, Adrian Beltre is the third baseman, and then left to right in the outfield. I feel like I'm a play-by-play guy giving out the lineup at the beginning of a game. Barry Bonds in left, Mike Trout in center, Aaron Judge in right. And for those of you, you know, below the age of like 13, there was a time when Mike Trout was considered potentially the greatest player in baseball. I know if you've just started watching baseball in the last 5 years, you're like, that guy that's hurt all the time for the Angels? There was a time where in a 10-year period he could have won 7 MVP awards. Mike Trout. Mike Trout's numbers are crazy.
It is crazy and kind of an illustration of just how injured he's been, though, too.
Yeah.
Because he's still relatively young, you feel like, well, he couldn't have possibly accomplished all of that stuff already.
He
can't have been around that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2011, I think, was his first year. Like, it's that first 10 years of Mike Trout, man, that was something. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Nick Caserio was on Chris Sims' podcast. Good interview. How well does Nick Caserio know his own drafts? Do you want to play a guessing game along with the Texans GM? You'll get your chance to. Coming up next.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.